Do you remember all your fits?
Last time I came, I remember the other day, last time I was on the corporate lunch, breakfast time also, and I wore a green Masters blazer, a purple tie-dye with skeletons, and I don't remember the bottom half. And today I thought it was funny that I wore purple, I wore tie-dye, and I wore green.
So you have all your past fits memorized.
Yeah, well, does anyone remember what pants I had on last time? I think they were purple sweats because I wanted to wear something wrong for GQ office. And I
you were trying to undermine the GQ vibe a little bit, but you couldn't go fully off brand because you wore the blazer, so you knew you had to be a little bit tailored up.
Right. No, but I remember most of my outfits for special occasions, flights. Otherwise, I try to remember.
So this is CorporateLunch.jp, the Japan episode featuring me. I am Noah Johnson, GQ Styles' very own, and actual living legend Mordecai Rubenstein.
Still alive.
Welcome. This is episode 44.
Woo!
4-4. 4 plus 4 is 8. That's infinity. Let's go. My lucky number. Will's away on a spirit quest. Maybe we'll learn about when he gets back. Maybe we'll never learn about. Who knows? This week, it's me and Mordecai. What's
Welcome
up?
Back, dude. We're
me
both
too.
In Japan the
you
exact
still,
same
time.
Different cities.
Mordecai and I share many bonds. We are dads. We're neighbors. Clothing enthusiasts. And
our
daughters are
born a week apart or so.
A week apart. They're best friends insofar as one-year-olds have friends at all. It's not clear if they do. They seem to like each other. And we were both just got back from Japan. We were there on separate missions for separate reasons in sort of separate places, but all at the same time. How's your jet lag?
It didn't hit till yesterday.
Yeah, it takes a day or two to catch up to you. And then at like 4 p.m., I fell asleep. I fall asleep every day, like wherever, sitting up at 4 or 5 p.m.
Yeah, I love jet lag.
What
time,
love it.
What time did you
it's
arrive in
sort
Japan?
Sort of distorting. I got in at like 3 p.m.
I got
about
in a little
2 weeks
earlier.
Ago.
I think, so the day I arrive, I love hitting the streets wherever I am to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
And then I don't believe in jet lag there because you're just constantly going.
That's right. You don't feel it there ever.
I think the worst thing you could do is sit down and stop as soon as you land and like take a nap. But on the way home, it hits me hard.
Yeah.
I argue with my wife unnecessarily. I fall. I could miss train stops. But
fall.
Yeah. But a couple, like, I mean, it's hard to get up the subway stairs.
Yeah. It's true when you get to Japan. I'm no Japan expert. I've been twice. This was my second trip. You've been
This is my third.
Third trip.
We're no experts.
You know, Japan is if you're into fashion and style and street culture of any kind, Japan is sort of like ground zero in so many ways. So it has that sort of like Mecca feeling, like you make this sort of pilgrimage and you get there and you like whatever your get down is. Stylistically, there's a movement there. There has been a movement there that has either massively influenced or has been a huge contribution to it. So, I it was always a dream of mine to go, and then for both work and personal reasons, I've got to go. But did you always had you in your whole life thought of like Japan as like a place you had to get to that you felt sort of connected to your interests?
Definitely, working retail in Soho, studying the streets here, thinking I know what's up. Japanese kids visiting wearing four different, you know, color block jeans from Beams, you know, showing me what they're into, and then going to Koko Hane, the bookstore, uptown. You can study those magazines from morning to night. You could look at every single Popeye second, free and easy, and it's nothing till you get there. And,
yeah.
I was photographed, as I'm sure you were, for different Japanese magazines. And after 20 years of living in, you know, working in Soho, I was like, I'm never going. And then finally going.
Yeah.
After fashion people, you know, they go to Milan a couple times a year, Paris a couple times a year. They're very lucky. We're very fortunate. But it's nothing till you get there. You know, like you said, it's the biggest eye-opener, you know, whether you're into ceramics, kimonos, taboo feet things or clothes. It's just another world, or food, you know.
Yeah, it's funny you said you never feel jet lag because you get there and you never stop moving. I was there for about 10 days with a group of friends on some sort of like inspiration sort of trip, kind of vacation thing, but we never really relaxed. I mean, it was relaxing, and there were experiences that sort of were similar to relaxation, but you really never stop going, partly because it's just endless an endless kind of like source of excitement, you know? There's like, yeah, especially when you're in the cities. That was my experience anyway, being in like Tokyo and Kyoto and some other small city.
You know, for someone like myself, with that, when I'm in a foreign country or away from home anywhere, I always wonder what's going on outside the hotel. And if you're with other people and they go back at 9, 10 o'clock at night, you're like, major FOMO. What's going on out there? Whether you're 30 flights up in a hotel.
This is like the
down,
theme of your life, though. This is why you're always on the streets.
It is. But, you know, but when you're in a place like that, which is, you know, you think New York doesn't sleep. It does. You go to Tokyo, we won't even talk about other places, and there's video arcades that are open 24 hours where they're dancing and touching the wall. There's a new one where they just touch. It used to be the dancing thing.
Right, you know, the video game.
Now
yeah,
there's like the touch, touch, touch. I could watch that for hours just to watch people. And then, you know, shopping's the biggest sport in Japan, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my favorite stores is in a subway station, and it's open till 11 o'clock midnight. You can have dinner, rush that dinner, forget to drink after dinner,
just
and go shopping again.
Slurp up a bowl of ramen in about a minute and
a
half.
I don't do noodles. I don't do ramen. But you slurp up anything and slip right back into a retail store.
Yeah. What's your favorite store that's in the train station?
It's called Oshman's.
What
is it's like it's REI times a million.
Yeah.
It's where the fake camping trend started in Japan, probably.
Yeah.
It's fast food camping, but it's Tokyo hands for camping, but it's all real.
Yeah.
If you need the gas stove, if you need the seat for camping, the backpack, the hat, the t-shirt, anything you need for camping, they have. But because camping is such a trend, they make their own Champion reverse weave sweatsuits that say Oshman's on it.
That's amazing.
And it's $20.
And you mentioned Tokyo Hands. Tokyo Hands is one of the spots everyone talks about. Everyone has to hit.
Trip.
I did too. It's essentially
and the last one.
It's essentially Target. Target's not the right word for it, but it's a massive kind of discount retailer that's like a humongous building. And they say it has sort of everything you can imagine, which it does, but it's kind of a junky weird, eclectic, like super Target sort of place.
My first trip, I looked at the map. There were seven. I picked the biggest one with the most stars looking like the biggest one. And the $25 cab ride, I'll never do again. I went to the wrong one.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted a Gregory.
I went to the one in
backpack.
Shibuya.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It was like, there's so much to look at.
Yeah.
And Japanese friends even warned me, if you're not going for a specific purpose, don't go.
Yeah.
And the last time, I my wife wanted the clear umbrella that every Japanese person has. That's not where you get it. You get that at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, 7-Eleven is way better.
7-Eleven
is one of the best stores in Japan.
They say it's the
7-Eleven.
Best t-shirt. In Japan is 7-Eleven because, you know, the businessmen, they stay out all night or can't get home in time for the train, so they're forced to sleep in a little pod.
Yeah, the salary.
Not
men.
A podcast. Yeah, and they have to get the shirt tie all packaged. But if you notice, all my favorite trends in 7-Eleven, all my favorite trends in Japan, the Tenegui scarf, like the workwear thing that they wear, there's 17 uses. They wear it for the head, for the neck, save a life and pull somebody up. They sell that packaged at 7-Eleven, the shirt and tie package 7-Eleven, the scarf, that's the towel, they sell packaged 7-Eleven. Everything you need. They have good underwear. They have Muji underwear and undershirts at 7-Eleven.
On my trip, I was there for over 10 days, and I packed for half the trip thinking we were at Airbnb, so I was like, we're going to have to do a laundry stop. I'm not going to do this heavy packing. Never did laundry. Just went to 7-Eleven every day to buy new socks and underwear.
I should have done that. We had, this is a crazy story. We had a laundry machine in the hotel room.
What?
I've never, ever, ever had.
And
this wasn't a Cerulean. This wasn't the Park Hyatt. This wasn't the Imperial Palace.
Yeah.
This was Ginza in a very, very nice hotel, but not like super 15-star hotel. And at the last day, the agent that brought me, translator agent from Popeye, I went out there for Popeye Magazine.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could mention other magazines on air. I mentioned GQ to them a bunch.
Oh, but good. Thank you.
They're so cool. But this hotel had a washer dryer, and before I went, she's like, oh, we have washer dryer in the room, so don't worry. I'm like, I'm being photographed every day, part of my mission. I'm bringing seven outfits.
Yeah.
It's five work days. I'm bringing at least seven because there's two slip-ups. And I waited till the last night to do laundry. Some of my favorite underwear, I should have done it earlier. But waited till the last night to do laundry. The menu was all in Japanese with little things in English of like a long cycle, things you don't need for the washing machine instead of the basics. I washed whites and darks together, as I always do.
Oh, come on, really?
Yep.
Mordecai.
Oh, I'm bad. And
Jesus.
I washed a red sweatshirt. I don't want to use the word vintage because I don't like that term anymore. I washed a sweatshirt. It's red. It says Brown on it. I think it's from Brown University. It's got to be at least 20, 30 years old. It's been washed by me 20, 30 times. and I washed it with white turtleneck that it bled all over. And my favorite sweats that are my father-in-law's coaching sweats that have his name embroidered on the top, Coach Brown, and the red bled on the gray. I was so upset. And the young lady,
you should have known it was going to happen. This is why you separate.
I mean, I've washed them together a million times. Never happened. But in Israel, those the machines Japanese, are very tough. And these machines weren't tough, but they're very thorough, let's say. And the young lady that helped me on this trip so much, who I owe everything to, said, let me take some of this stuff to my room because the dryer wasn't drying, and she'll dry it. And then she saw how upset I was. And I don't know what I'm saying really, but what I want, you know, they take things very personally in Japan.
Yeah, they do.
They don't, and I know that because I love people and I study people so much. And I said it there over and over again, this is no disrespect. My feelings are not hurt at all by the Japanese. I want you to know, I love this place. I love you. And a 1,000,000%.
Even though my sweatshirt bled onto my turtleneck, I still love the Japanese people.
That's true. It's my fault. You know?
But Japanese people are very sensitive to especially guests, and very attendant, and very just so incredibly like respectful and
gifts as soon as they meet you, bowing, everything about the place. Yeah. Super long story short, because I make everything too long, I cannot believe what this woman did. Long story short, she stayed up for hours. First, she washed the pants by themselves.
Yeah.
She Googled all these websites and forums of how to get stains out. She must have, I don't know for a fact, she washed them. She told me for a fact she washed them. Then she hit it with a toothbrush with some soap that was in the room.
God.
She didn't go downstairs to the store because it wasn't 24 hours. She washed it with soap with a toothbrush by hand, then rewashed them. In the morning, I had a funny feeling that something happened. So I woke up and I put a towel around, and I was all packed up because we were leaving that morning. I left a pair of jeans just on top of the suitcase, but still packed. I didn't want to wear jeans because they're not really wearing jeans in Japan anymore. So I was like, I don't really know if I should. And because they influenced me a lot. So
they don't wear jeans in New York anymore, either, do they?
You're right.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
So slow.
Keep going.
So she knocked on my door. I opened it at the same time because I kind of was waiting for her. We had a set time to meet, 6 a.m., we were going for breakfast at the Imperial Palace. That's where Joe DiMaggio and what's-her-face Marilyn Monroe had their honeymoon. It's an incredible-looking hotel. I haven't seen I haven't seen the rooms, but it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Designed by some famous architect that died in the middle of the project. You probably know his name. Anyway, they're famous for laundry. And I thought she was going to drop it off and do some magic. Or no, she told me she was going to drop it. She handed me the pants, and she's like, I think I got them out. I may have taken some of the gray out in the sweat. And I'm like, they felt fluffier, the weave,
she fixed them
ever before.
They were better than
they
were.
They were better than they were original. I no lie, no jet lag. This is before the jet lag.
This is an extremely long story about laundry, which I appreciate tremendously, because I could talk about laundry all day. It's very important to me, and I'm very sensitive to matters pertaining to laundry. But it's also a good metaphor for sort of how it works in Japan.
We spoke about laundry on the first podcast together.
I'm sure we did. What happens in Japan is they take a common thing that happens there, and I'm going to make some generalizations here that I hope doesn't upset too many people, but they take existing practices and traditions and products that are very American, and they tend to improve upon them. They tend to sort of take them and take them further, either by
fact
improving the quality, or by improving the process by which they're made, or by just kind of like fucking it up and making it an insane color.
She made them
or
better
like
than they were originally. You think I'm lying? They were fluffier. This was a pair of sweatpants.
That's what the whole country does.
They went from 9 ounce twill cotton whatever to 15.
What was, since you brought it up, the number of outfits you brought, do you have a real I would love to know, and this is again for another episode, but what is your system for packing? Not
I
how
rolled.
You do it. I don't care about
time.
The rolling. Everybody,
oh, okay. No,
look,
I didn't roll.
You get it in the bag first, however you get it. How do you plan? Do you lay everything out?
What is
the algorithm? Because I never know. Yeah, you can do 7 outfits, but what about the items that get swapped in and out of various outfits? I'm like writing down like diagrams and notebooks and laying clothes out.
Photos.
I never get it right.
So I knew I was being photographed every day, so I didn't want to repeat. But I love beauty in the everyday, and I love wearing just a giant bean sweater with sweats with a turtleneck. Maybe switch a turtleneck and wear the same thing every day. How funny for Japan!
How many pairs of sweatpants did you bring?
Only one.
Wow, really?
Yep, only one. And I wore them on the flight like a true American slob.
Yeah.
Normally, I like my flight outfits to be loud and proud. This time, it was very lame. Well, yeah. That's not true. I did a patterned fleece with tie-dye socks.
It's just, you don't want to be too cozy. You don't want to be like the college kid carrying a pillow through the airport. But it is a long flight.
I did the neck pillow for the first time.
Yeah, the neck pillow is all right. But you can't have the bed pillow. I don't know about sweats.
I also want wheeled luggage. Remoa, what's up? Get at us.
You're not running wheeled luggage?
I'm not running wheeled luggage. Oh, I'm running a giant L.L. Bean tote, and I feel like a grandma, and that's for short trips throwing it in the Volvo. I'm over it.
What is your level of fame like in Japan? Because I've been to Japan with some American friends.
They know you.
No one stops me though. I mean, you walk through Harajuku, you're getting people are screaming Mr. Mort at you.
Not screaming. I was blown away.
But people stop politely to ask for pictures.
You know what it is? I make eye contact. Otherwise, they never would. They're so polite. I noticed a few kids looking at their Instagram in front of me.
Yeah, is that?
And
is
in my
it
head,
him?
Yeah. And they kept looking back, and I imagined them ahead. Oh, I saw my thing on their screen. Bullshit. I didn't. I just sensed that they were looking at me, and they were looking at the app. And I'm the old man that's like, "Hey, how you doing, kids?" You know. And then politely, they ask for a photo. That happened a few times. It happened a few times where they said hi and didn't take my photo, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
But it only happened a few times a day.
You said you're not using the word vintage anymore. What's that about?
I also bought vintage for the first time in Japan, which I didn't think I would do. Nothing, because true vintage is like, what, 30 years old or whatever? And they use the term so loosely here for a wrap tee, you know, which could be or whatever. But
oh, you're saying if it's 18 years old, it's not
vintage.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what vintage truly is anymore. This is secondhand, you know, this is secondhand.
Secondhand is a better term.
This is secondhand, exactly, you know.
Everything you're wearing is secondhand.
Nope, not the bottoms.
What are you running? Tie-dye sweatpants.
Cotton candy. Made in Harlem.
Sort of marbled. Who makes those?
This young kid named Carrie Amble.
Shout out to him.
He's a young deadhead.
And you got the Comme des Garçons HCG
Moabs on? No, they're just black sneakers.
They're Comme des Garçons Nikes, I think. He's a...
ACG.
Those are French, Japan designer. It's CDG.
Whatever.
Wow, the sneakerheads are going to have my head for that one. I'd like to see you in Comme des Garçons. Did you go to the Comme des Garçons store
Absolutely
in Tokyo?
No.
Come on.
And the agent was like mad at me for dissing it. I wasn't dissing it. I don't go to Japan for that.
Yeah, fair. But you know, there is a good amount of...
It's a beautiful store.
I skipped a lot of that stuff this trip because I'd seen it before, but going to like the Undercover store and the VisVim stores and the Comme des Garçons stores, you know, those are the major icons. It's like coming to New York and going to Ralph, you know, I think like there's some amount of... You get to see it in its true form. And I love to see the shop kids because the shop kids are fully dedicated to those brands. I mean, it's a whole lifestyle.
I tried not
lifestyle.
To bring Japanese clothes with me. I was like, oh, I'll bring my noodle sweats. I was like, no, kind of done played, you know.
Yeah.
You want to bring America to Japan. You don't really want to bring Japan to Japan.
Yeah.
Kind of. But they inspire everything I do probably. So, because, you know, they do us so well. You know, I went to some stores out there that I probably shouldn't have. I looked in the VisVim store and right next to it is Fred Perry and they knocked off no sign, same glass. It's so funny.
What stores did you like there? Or what did you go to that you had
I was hoping you'd ask me my favorite Japanese brand.
All right, let's start there. What's your favorite Japanese brand?
Toto. The toilets. 7-Eleven with
the bidet. Toilets in Japan are super complicated.
7-Eleven with the bidet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know it's stressful if you're in an
office. But that's weird using a 7-Eleven.
You don't know which button to push.
You never know.
Yeah, but if you're in a 7-Eleven, you know what button to push, fine, you leave. You're going to the Popeye magazine office and you don't know which button to push, you're sweating.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? You could get like sprayed in the face somehow.
Anyway, for a 7-Eleven to have a top-of-the-line design toilet
everywhere.
So cool. I do have one question for you know, they often offices and bathrooms won't have paper towels to dry your hands.
Yeah, no, there's no paper towels in Japan. Yeah.
So everyone, that's another reason why every single person has a personal handkerchief in their pocket.
Yeah.
Every single
person.
That's
a good point. Because restaurants rarely have napkins,
too.
Like the good restaurants, the sort of cutty, like, back alley restaurants don't have napkins.
Right.
And if you ask for one, they hand you, like, a tiny, like,
tissue.
Laminated piece
yes.
of tissue
yes.
that's, like, has a sheen
so
on it.
So my question is, you go to these bathrooms and you know, you don't have it.
Yeah.
You start drying your hands on your clothes, not that cool looking. It's so weird. It's so
strange.
I
struggle with that because I'm a big, but it also kind of brings awareness.
Washer.
I mean, yeah, and you do need some paper towels, but it brought awareness to the fact that like maybe I used 3 or 4 paper towels after I washed my hands, and then I'm thinking
exactly.
This whole country of people
Wasteful.
Aren't using any,
right?
And that's kind of a problem in and of itself. But wet hands is a bad look.
Yeah,
a wet doorknob on the bathroom.
But
is
Japan
no good.
Is all about using. I learned about this also in the hotel. They haven't changed a lot of things. since like the 80s or whatever. And I guess after the war, when they lost, I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know history, but they lost everything. Yeah. They make use with what they have, or whatever the word is. Like, they use it until it can't be used anymore. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. We went to an onsen in the south, which is a bathhouse. And it's a pretty intense experience. It's, you know, you're not, you don't.
Tattoos.
You're not supposed to have tattoos in there because of the, you know, Japanese mafia. The tattoos are
but
known.
But I heard they can, there's certain ones, even though if you made an appointment and pay, when you get naked or take your clothes off, they can ask you to leave.
That's right. They can. Yeah, there's rules for it. But we went to a kind of cutty, a grimy one, and a friend who was all tatted up had no problem in there. But they don't, you know, you don't wear clothes in them. And the towel they give you is the size of a piece of paper. It's the smallest.
You have to hold it, right?
Yeah, there's no big fluffy white towels. You have this tiny towel, and you keep it with you kind of over your shoulder when you bathe, and then you sort of you do an intense kind of scrubbing your body process before and after, because the water smells like sulfur and stuff. And then you use that same tiny towel. You wring it out, and then you use it to dry yourself. And that's all anybody gets. There's no robe. There's no stack of fluffy, like, spa towels. There's nothing. There's just that.
I'd be crying.
Another kind of... As much sort of excess and not excess, but stimulation and sort of commercial consumer culture as there is still like these weird sort of like moments of like austerity or something where you're just like, where are the fucking paper towels? Yeah. My hands are wet.
And they have so much clothes. I wonder what their houses look like. And when you see Japanese houses in magazines, simplicity or whatever, like bare, you know. And I realized into this trip, this is my third time, I still haven't seen anyone's house or apartment. Kind of, you know, like, trench coats make sense out there because they don't take up a lot of closet space. I have 4 down coats. It's no wonder.
They don't need stuff that warm, unless you're up north, right?
That's also true.
But let's talk more about shopping, though, because the shopping situation there is very intense. And for someone like myself, it can be like, you walk through a neighborhood, any neighborhood in Tokyo, it seems to me, and on any block, you're going to find a shop or two you want to go into. You just kind of can't
resist. Hold on, I'll be right out. Hold on.
And it's sort of, exactly, and it's sort of, it gets weird because at some point you got to be like, is this... I don't think it's the same. To some extent, when Japanese people who are into clothes come here, they go to places like Dave's and have a similar sort of experience where their mind is blown by what we have right here on most blocks and most neighborhoods in New York. But it's just, to me, it doesn't even compare. There's something, the experience there is unreal. On all levels.
I mean, you can pick anything you're into. I don't care if it's Ralph Lauren.
Well, I only bought Made in Japan shit, and I was kind of careful to do that.
That blew my mind last trip.
But
blew my mind.
And that's, to me, is the only reason to be there.
Sad.
There's no reason to buy anything that's not made in Japan when you're there. Because, you're getting a much better price on it. Like, I bought some needle stuff, which, I could have bought here, but I got a better price. Advice to people, I think, going would be like, buy stuff that's made in Japan. That's why you're there.
It's the beauty of it,
But with vintage, I think you buy made in USA, and this may upset you.
Wait, vintage in general.
Yeah.
Because I think there's three things. The first time and second time I went, I would buy socks, and I went back to my hotel room, and I saw made in China, and I was like, shit, I came all the way here to buy that. So I wanted made in Japan. They have underwear, I call it underwear stores, in Shibuya, Harajuku, like the cool guy neighborhoods. Yeah. There's like an unofficial, not champion store, but like make your own t-shirt store, like bring your own graphic, we'll make a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. They have more brands selling underwear, t-shirts, and socks in that store that are made in North Carolina than anyone in this country's ever seen.
Oh, really?
They're not. Yeah, they have t-shirts and underwear like Camber.
That, like, you know, Health Reno Knit Camber. And
yeah,
all that
exactly.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're remaking it for Japan when not only most Americans haven't heard of it, you can't buy it here.
Yeah.
So that stuff's cool.
Definitely.
I said, I'm not coming here to buy vintage my last two trips. This time, they really pushed me. Koenji. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go.
That's the neighborhood where all the vintage stores are.
Dude, designers that are going and they're going to Shibuya and Harajuku are wasting their fucking time.
Yeah.
Sorry to curse, but get out. I went to two places. I went to a place that's just, I want to say like a flea market, but it's all new. It's the underground sneaker world where sneakers came out an hour ago and they're all there. And it's like a flea market full of 90-year-olds and 12-year-olds shopping.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Aoyama, I think it's called. I don't even know. And I went to Koenji, where you have stores that are more Ralph than Ralph.
Yeah.
You know, they have like every single collection Ralph's ever done, but it's super curated in a way that makes you want to shop, not in a library way.
What kind of prices are you paying, though?
Like, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I bought an amazing, amazing, amazing oversized hypercolor Ralph flannel for $45.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was a lot for me.
Yeah.
And I bought Wide Whale Ralph cords. I won't describe
and
how
it's
they
wild
look because I don't want anyone to get them.
The funny thing about buying vintage is that, like, Ralph Flannel, you bought, a Japanese buyer went to America, traveled across the country, went to every Salvation Army on some epic road trip through Canada and America, and then flew back to Japan, and you know, it entered a wholesale system of some kind for vintage buying and then ended up there. But like, that story's so crazy. But I went to a vintage wholesaler in Kyoto. It's this guy who has a shop in Kyoto called Nord, and then through some friends, he brought us to his vintage warehouse. I posted some of this on my Instagram stories, and it was exactly what you know your greatest dreams are made of. It was just piles, like actual towers of very well handpicked vintage, and basically it was kind of the result of decades of these buying trips to the U.S. And I think honestly, Japanese buyers did such a thorough job of collecting
for 30 years,
for decades, that it really is all there. I mean, yeah, you can still find stuff here, but
yeah, in my mind, he was saying these were priced to sell.
He was saying that that younger kids aren't into vintage anymore. That when he was growing up in Japan, it was all about American vintage, and that's not the move anymore.
Good. Let's hate on it.
So he said his prices
go back and buy it.
Yeah, his prices were coming down, and
good.
So why didn't you buy vintage the first time you went?
Because I would go to the Rose Bowl when I worked at Levi's, and I was like, Rose Bowl. And there were so many fake stories, like, oh, I found this in a mine. I'm like, I don't want to hear your Bubba Mice's, your grandma stories in Yiddish. Like, let me either, you know, be seduced by the item itself and lie, or just shut up, you know, because it's bullshit. And there were so many dealers in Japan. Then I bought and sold many years ago, 20 years ago, I'd buy and sell clothes in the Midwest, and I'd bring it back on Greyhound and sell it to the Lower East Side stores, to women's clothing stores here. And I'd go to these stores, and there
was just a hustle you had going?
Yeah. As a Japanese kids, they would be online with me in Detroit and stuff to buy clothes. And I was like, what are they doing here?
Huh.
You know? And it just made sense. So that when I went back, I was like, I'm not buying my own clothes back from them. It just hurts. It's like, it hurts. But they have the best in the world. Yeah. They're so smart. They're so good at it. And I'm so happy that I did it this time, because it was priced to sell. And I didn't even wash it. And I brought it back thinking, oh, I better wash this stuff.
Yeah.
Don't tell my wife. I just put it right in the closet in the location, because I'm sure that it's perfectly clean.
I know. I bought a pair of 1950s, like, Korea War cargo pants, BDUs. And they're, like, massive. They're amazing. And they, you know, they size those in size small, medium, large, short, regular, long. And I'm a medium short, and it's really hard to find. And especially in this 1950s fit, which is wild. It has the huge knees, the articulated knees that are massive.
Cotton,
and then it kind of tapers. Yeah, it's a twill. It's not ripstop. It's before ripstop. Hard to find stuff. This was what I discovered in the warehouse. I too wore them without
washing
them.
Did you wear them on the trip?
Yeah. I started wearing everything on the trip, partly because I packed light, and you pick up things along the way. What did you go to Capitol stores? The Capitol stores
absolutely
there are
not
amazing. All right.
I wanted to, but it's like, it's so OD.
So you didn't do Capitol. You didn't do Nepenthes. You didn't do like the
Japanese
stuff.
I went to the
stuff.
Needles store. I didn't buy a $260 tie-dye hoodie that I wanted because it wasn't the greatest dye. Well, that's not true. I just didn't want a $260 t-shirt. But I went.
See, I love going to like the source. To me, it's like, yeah, you've seen Capitol. Yeah, you can buy it on Mr. Porter. But go to the Tokyo store where you have to take your shoes off to shop. And like, you get a different experience. To me, I bought a Capitol jacket there that I'm really happy with. Never thought I would buy.
Does it have smiley faces?
No, but it's like all tattered and destroyed and like hand stitched and has like mismatched buttons, and
to Japan once.
It's the whole thing, but honestly, I had such a good experience, and the thing has a great fit. You'll see. You're going to like it.
Have you noticed that the packing's gone down? Like, they're not spending as much time packing and wrapping and handing you the product?
A little bit, yeah. Often they would do like a tissue layer, and then that goes into an envelope, and the envelope has a beautiful tie, and then that goes into a shopping bag.
Yeah, they're not walking you to the door as much.
Yeah, I didn't get walked to the door as much.
I like that they've downplayed
it. I get some of that also, I think, is my mannerisms, and I get excited. So I'm in a store, and the volume of my voice starts going up, and the pitch probably. And the kind of like, I start moving really fast. I start talking really fast. I'm grabbing things off racks.
Yeah,
I'm not demanding. To me, I'm being polite but just enthusiastic. But there, it can have a different read.
Yes.
And sometimes I think I cross the line and become the rude, sort of like brash, loud American, and they just want me out of there. And that's maybe when they don't walk me to the
door. Glad we weren't on the same trip, because they would have hated us. But I feel the same way. They downplay the packaging and everything because they know I want to go. And I respect that. They try to like.
Did you do like Beams and like
absolutely.
United Arrows
every
and some of those big stores?
Nope, I didn't hit one United Arrows. I hit like 15 Beams.
So you
Beams is the best store in the world. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
They do it.
What's
so
the best one? Beams
well.
Fenica? Is that the best one?
I don't want to say.
Come on, you've told us
nope,
everything.
Do the
else.
Work. Do the work.
So
Beams Plus.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just, tweed reversible overcoats.
Yeah.
It's
Did
it's
you buy
beautiful.
Stuff there?
I did not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what else did you buy? Can you talk about that? A few things. Don't give us the full.
I bought fleece gloves that come in two different colors, the right hand and left
at
hand.
At the outdoor store?
Mm-hmm. I bought a climbing rope with miniature climbing things. Oh, I'm talking to a climber. For my wife, because last time she said I didn't get her enough stuff. Hanukkah's coming, and I try to give under $25 gifts for 8 nights. So I got her like little facial things at the drugstore.
The masks, yeah, the like paper masks.
I got my little baby a Cookie Monster from Uniqlo because I thought they were sold out in New York, and of course they're here.
I'm terrible at buying gifts. And then I kind of choke up and can't make the decision.
Same.
And I want to go to like the kind of chintzy gift shops and get the local like sort of tourist gifty stuff. But then you look at it and you lose interest because it's all made in China and cheap. And then I want to get nice stuff, but then it becomes harder to find. I found a couple things, but I did a bad job.
I'm the worst gift giver because I have this thing
also
where
just pure selfishness. I just want it.
Same. I told Sarah the reason I'm not getting you a $500 pair of earrings that I like that you're not going to like.
Yeah.
I want to get you something that I love that in case you don't like it, like we share it kind of like
a climbing
rope,
for instance.
You know, yeah. And I strike out every single trip.
Every holiday. What other spots did you hit? What'd you eat? You didn't eat noodles.
Oh, that's bad.
Right, that's a problem.
Dude, burgers almost
curry?
Every day.
What's the burger place called? Brown Toast.
I did the Golden Brown.
Golden Brown.
Too much during the day. It's just so OD with the mayo. And I believe they put cheese in the burger. They told me they don't inside the meat. A lot of places do in America.
They just sneaky
cheese.
Yeah,
and I'm allergic to dairy, lactose, Jewish stomach. And I take lactate all day there. It does nothing, even though they're not big on dairy. But I love that Golden State Burger because they're very American in there. They turn the rap music up when you walk in. The kids that work there are covered in grease from the crotch to like the knees, which I think is really cool. I love that store, the Wacko Maria store. That's totally gangster, probably.
Yeah.
Right next to it. I love those shirts.
Is that where the Paradise Cafe is or whatever it's called?
Yeah,
that's a big scene. We went over there to grab a drink. This is like a dumb thing, but we looked in and it was full of Americans, and we just kind of walked away. It was like we're gonna see people we know in here, and that's a weird vibe. There's spots like that where people
gravitate.
It JBL bar? Did you go there?
JBS
with played the bar out, with done. All the records.
Nah,
you go there. It's all
out. You know the new one. That's the fake. Grandfather bar.
Yeah, that's right.
We were
talking about that too. We went to the piano bar, the tiny red bar. That's another version of
that.
But these are all these places where you get all the
too many
all the cool Americans hang out, you know.
Where the Americans don't go, that alley with all the bars that hold three people.
That's where the piano bar is.
That's the coolest strip in the world.
It fits like eight people.
That's the coolest strip in the world.
Yeah, it's a pretty
I took my shoes off to go into the dressing room at a vintage store. That was pretty impressive. Yo, Santa Monica Vintage, amazing.
Where's that? Harajuku?
I don't know. There's a few.
Oh, it's
there's one called CAG or CDG. We got a time check.
I
got to
check my
out.
Notes.
Don't make. I wrote notes too.
So did you do like Hollywood Ranch Market? That's
nope,
a really good one.
Nope,
no.
Nope. But they own, it's too much for me, but the guy just passed away from Hollywood Ranch Market, and I didn't know this. That brand's been around since like 1972.
Oh, yeah, it goes way back.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So
he's got the best thermals
outside
in the game.
That store. There's a sticker on the window, not fade away, which is really cool. It looks like it's someone's house.
I didn't realize
it was like the backside. But they own three other stores.
Well, it's Blue is the same company, and Hollywood Ranch Market, and
the other one, which is pretty cute. Oh,
Front
yeah,
Front General or something.
No, Standard, High Standard,
right?
Which is my favorite because they have Barbarian. They'll take the collar off of Barbarian and put a hood on.
Yeah.
You know, they make their own rugbies in all white.
Yeah.
But then you start seeing them at Beams. You start seeing them at all the same stores, which is a big problem in Japan.
Yeah, there is a similar. There's a funny thing. One thing that everyone asked me when I go to Japan or when I get back is, did you buy any North Face Purple Label? Everyone asked about that because it's kind of this really known thing that people have this idea, they have shit
only in Japan.
They have this only in Japan stuff. And it's true, but you realize it's not that interesting when you're there. To me personally, Purple Label is not.
Doesn't
excite me. Partly because there's a million other rare, unusual collaborations or side brands, off brands, licensed in Japan brands, and all this stuff. There's so much of it, but there is a little bit of an effect of like you see it once and it's exciting, and then after the course of a week, you start to realize that like these things are everywhere.
Yeah. I have a special, what's the word, affinity for it because I like that it has Berkeley on the tag and living in San Francisco for a little bit and the idea of like, you can't get it. And there's so much fake North Face Purple Label that I do actually like what they do so much, but I'm friendly and love the Nanamika family and love what they do so much that it's cool to be turned on to the Nanamika stuff and just see the Purple Label stuff in that store and kind of still want the Nanamika.
Yeah.
Like that. And the Nanamika Mountain store is, there's two Nanamika stores, like one's Mountain and one's regular.
Oh, okay.
Those are my favorites because it's kind of international. They had they had an orange fleece that I fell in love with from England.
But you didn't cop.
I was too cheap.
Do you do any of the like, did you do like Anatomica or Figvel or any of those kind of military remake?
I'm
like,
pissed that I didn't do Anatomica. I love that company and
so
everything
intense.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the guy chose that destination for where it is because he wanted to be near water.
Yeah.
And it's so
an amazing
far away.
Location. It's on
so
this river.
Far
it's out
away.
Of the middle of nowhere. It's on a river and there's all these boats, sort of like houseboats on the river, I think.
Yeah.
And that's another one where the, like all the employees are like almost fetishistically dedicated to this brand, like super duper over the top kind of military.
But that's what's
styling.
Cool about Santa Monica Vintage and stores like that. Like you're around Gucci and Saint Laurent, all the high end stores. You make a right, and there's like this little vintage store down the stairs on the main drag, and there's like a rack of baby Patagonia.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just priced just enough where you're like, damn, I should
reason.
Get that.
The
I
exchange
don't.
Rate. I don't know if you noticed. The exchange rate was very good when we were there.
So weird.
It was very good. Last time I was there, it was not. It was not so favorable.
Curious what you bought. Vintage, workwear.
Yeah.
I mean, workwear is the best in Japan. What stores like, didn't like? I'm so curious.
I like, probably things that aren't even on your radar, but there's a lot of just like kind of younger Japanese brands that I like Yeika. Did you see that brand? They do a lot of really good chinos. Aura Lee does like knitwear that I really like. Kamoli does
like
sort
that
of like
just
soft.
Hit me with probably aren't on my radar.
Are
I,
they
I
though?
Like that.
No, but
I've only heard of one of those three.
I meant that
I like
to
that.
Be more of like
we're into
probably
different
not
shit.
In your radar. Exactly. We're into different shit.
I mean, my favorite store outside of Oshman's is Beaver.
I don't even know that one.
It's and there's way too many of them. There's like 30 of them. They're in malls, but they talk about fetishizing
also
camping wear and outdoorsy. But they have, you know how like mixed, you know, like, oh, I bought two pairs of camo BDUs and I put them together and one camo is slightly more washed than the other, or a pair of 501s and the one black leg is like slightly different wash than the other black. There's 30 companies that do that in Japan.
Right.
There's only three that do it really, really, really well outside of Capital. And Beaver has one of them. I think it's called like Sunny Side Up or Sunny Up or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool to find like little cutesy, I don't know, there's a brand called Bohemian, which is, I don't know, I'm over it because they just opened up their own store.
He's
but they did
it.
Like a fake Zurich. They did like a flower all over looking like Andy Warhol print on a Zurich.
I remember what I was going to ask you. Did you do like Ragtag or any of those secondhand stores, those big, like, it's kind of like a Beacon's Closet, like a big designer secondhand store?
I saw them.
I
was blown away.
Like,
huge.
They're basically massive and they're full of like current
and
season.
And they're
I
by
think,
all the high end. Right, there's a high end one.
Yeah, they go like a big range, but you could go in there and like if you go to the VizVim store and see something you really want and it's $1,200, you can go in here and they're going to have it for like $200.
Oh, let's talk about that because.
And there's like an endless supply of them. And they're. Because
I
think part of it is.
On my last trip.
Like you were talking about apartments and people buy so much clothes there. I think it's very common that you buy, like you kind of rotate out your season
it's
every season
be.
And you resell it at Ragtag.
For that hype,
or
for that hype beast.
Yeah.
For that.
They're
yes, it's
consignment
true.
Shops, I think.
Yeah. And one more thing about that I was blown away. The Supreme store, I think there's 16 of them. Two or three doors down. There's a company called Fools. It looks like the Fool's Gold logo, and it's called like Fool's something else, and Fool's God or something. It's two doors away from Supreme.
Yeah.
They have stuff that came out last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Doors
but selling
away.
It secondhand or selling
no,
it new?
No, resale. The resale shops there, like you were talking about secondhand, fine. The resale shops that are popping up for streetwear and the Supreme stuff are two doors away. We're not talking about like in the alley at Supreme here.
That's right.
Being sold. Two. It's like
the line for Supreme has to pass that door. Yeah.
It makes no sense. It's insane.
Hey, go in there, pay 20% more, or wait in line. Or,
I guess that's a good way to put it.
How did you? You're obviously you're here. Your camera's right next to you. When we met, it was around your neck. Did you take a lot of photos there? And what was your I came up looking at Japanese magazines and just those. The street style images of the kids standing on the streets in Harajuku, whatever their vibe was, just kind of like would pour over them and look at the details and obsess.
Same.
Did you find that street style there now is better than you expected, not as good as you expected,
you know,
different than what you'd seen before.
I'm still blown away that a Japanese magazine that I grew up poring over, I just learned that term from you, but like getting all into, brought me to their country to shoot their own people. It's
so
strange.
So you were on assignment for
Popeyes. I was on
Popeyes.
Assignment to shoot Street Style.
Yeah.
It's like I'm doing like a 10-page spread of Street Style.
Oh, cool.
And I shot old men, I shot young kids, I shot everything.
Japanese people?
All Japanese. Yeah. I shot one or two Americans maybe. I don't have to double check. But like, I stopped two kids in strollers, had them come out because they had kimonos. There's like three celebrations they do in life, like 3 years old, 6 years old, and like 12 years old, uh-huh. where they wear a kimono. And it's beautiful, the detail that goes into that stuff. So that's classic. I shot a guy who was wearing a barber, a beautiful waxed barber, and he had like a bucket fedora hybrid hat that wasn't, it was an English riding company, it wasn't barber, and I asked if I could take his photo, and the Japanese agent that I was with was so cool that she let me approach people and me talk,
mm-hmm.
and then only came in after to explain that it was for Popeye and can't get permission, or if I had a problem, and I never had a problem. I shot an old guy. And I don't know if it's common to ask, like, what are you up to in Japanese, like, to be polite. But they had an exchange, and he opened up his backpack and gave me a cup that he made on his kiln, spun, whatever the word is.
Oh, wow.
I know you're into ceramics. And I've been giving gifts off people's backs in Napa. I had a guy in Bolinas give me a chamois, if you know, right out of his truck.
Huh.
Right, he's like, if I got another shirt, man, this is for you, because you got a love for it. And this guy in Japan opened up his backpack and told Momo that I'm going to a tea ceremony, but I really make ceramics. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And just took it right out of the plastic and gave me a ceramic cup. Now, Sarah was like, you should have put that away for one of the 8 nights of Hanukkah. That's the most amazing gift, because I gave it to her right out of the bag because I had nothing for her. And I don't love it, but it's such a cool story. Like, who's giving you a ceramic cup that they made on the street in America?
That's incredible.
You know?
Yeah,
so I found some good street
special style. Yeah.
You know, I shot a guy. I went to the area where it's all temples, which I didn't want to go to, but I'm happy I did because whatever. I don't
got to get some cultural experience.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, oh, did you go to the temples? Did you go to the temples? I'm like, no. This time I went. And there's people that run the rickshaws.
Yeah.
And they have a uniform with the split sneaker Tabi thing.
That's right.
And there's an Air Max bubble in them now. I don't know if you know
really?
That.
No,
I was blown away.
Notice.
I didn't know until someone showed me pictures of my own
pictures.
Those
guys need like they need performance footwear as much as anybody.
This guy's wrapped. They wrap themselves in like, I don't know how it's worn, you know?
Yeah.
And one leg was tie-dye. I got to show you the photo. I found good stuff. It's cool that I'm not posting anything for me because it's for the magazine.
Yeah, you held back quite a bit.
Yeah. I loved your stories because it was a lot of like, I don't want to use the wrong word, but like architectural.
Yeah.
Like it makes me like, oh, I want to shoot that kind of stuff too. And people make fun of me when I do that kind of stuff.
We did a lot of exploration off the retail path. I get into a rhythm where I shoot photos all day, and then like late night when I'm like passing out or just like on a train or something, I do a big dump into the stories. That's a nice way to do it.
That's yes in Japanese.
Hi.
Did you learn some Japanese?
Arigato gozaimasu.
Yes.
If you say that, it means thank you very much. It gets a very good response.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Good morning.
I didn't learn that. I have a terrible ear for language and was constantly fucking up and trying to learn.
It's easy
and
to fuck up there.
It is. And, you know, I was with some people who were really learning and starting to make their way, and I just felt like such an idiot, and I would constantly screw it up
Enjoy watching American people that are breaking their teeth. It's just kind of funny.
Did you start thinking about your next trip there? Yeah. I want to go out this spring. It's very, you know, all the things people say about Japan, it's very clean. They
sparkling.
Live by a different system of sort of rules than Americans do, for instance, in a lot of ways, but it's a very appealing place to be. It's sort of otherworldly. Part of that has to do probably with ignorance and stuff that's lost in translation, but being there to visit has a magical quality, and the quality of feeling like you've only barely scratched the surface, sort of, in my two trips only felt like scratching the surface and just already thinking about going back.
I mean, if there's a 3-second rule of dropping food here, I would leave it there overnight and eat it again in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you don't see a cigarette butt on the ground. You might see a drunk person sleeping on the ground.
They pull over to smoke. They have, you know, on the sidewalks,
that's
they have
right.
those smoking sections.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go back.
All right.
I shot Chi-Chi's, which was fun for me.
What's that?
I'm working on a book of Grateful Dead style in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And Chi-Chi's is a old hippie dude out there.
Oh, I saw it. You did share a little bit of that.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a famous dead memorabilia collector or something.
He's got a Volkswagen that he parks outside and it's just ready to
go. He's in Tokyo somewhere?
Yeah.
And does he sell stuff or does he just kind of post up and hang out?
He makes t-shirts and hoodies.
His name's Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
Did he speak any English? Did you get to... It's one hard thing
Not much.
I mean, this is the same. This goes with traveling anywhere. You really do need a little bit of help in Japan translation wise because
big time.
There's a lot of funny things about communication that don't translate. Even like hand gestures, things we take for granted that don't really work. And people who have traveled the world probably this is very obvious. But there you'd meet such interesting people, and then I would sometimes feel a little like I wish I was able to sort of connect a little bit more with them.
I couldn't agree more. It's,
and you know, you learn a little bit.
You can't
bit
be too prepared for that place. It's impossible. Yeah. I don't know how much you've studied it or know about ceramics or know about anything. You can't talk to them.
You and I should enroll in some Japanese classes, and next time we'll go together, but we'll hang out together.
Hi.
All right, we could talk about Japan all day and all week and for many weeks beyond that. This is episode 44 of Corporate Lunch. Mordecai Rubenstein, a.k.a. Mr. Mort's on here. Don't call him Mr. Mort. If you see him on the street, call him Mordecai. That's his name.
Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's hear some vibes from you, because if we don't do vibes, we're gonna hear some hell. 13 vibes. So,
number one.
13 vibes. Let's go. This is the lightning fast bonus round where we talk about shit that's dope.
Kimono.
You back the kimono. Did you put one on while you were there?
No.
I didn't.
And they
either.
Come in the hotel bed.
Yeah.
They probably had them in the Airbnb bed, too.
Beautiful garments, amazing colors and construction.
Oversize.
Great,
I thought we don't
great fit.
Talk more about the vibe.
That's my vibe. Next vibe is oversize. I'm taking
that
one.
Oh, shit.
Everything's just got to be huge. I bought a needles fleece in Japan that Mordecai's mad that I did, but it's a beast. It's massive. He's showing me a photo of...
A
what
girl in a vintage
that?
Collegiate sweatshirt that's so big it's like a dress.
And she belted it.
And she put
it.
A belt for some definition.
Wow. Not something I would do. It's all tattered, too.
Wide wheel cords.
What's your next vibe?
Corduroys.
Yeah, I'm wearing corduroys today. Wide. Wider the better.
Trench coats and hoodies. Can't do it, but they do it so well. Music when you walk into a bathroom, automatic.
Really?
That's big in Japan.
Yeah. They don't play a lot of music. You don't always hear music elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect, though. Dude, they have a fake flush button on the
better
Totos.
Oh, just to sound. No.
Just the sound.
There's this button that says flush sound.
It's amazing.
What is that? Oh, so the people don't hear like the...
Yes.
This whatever.
Sorry, GQ. There's a vibe.
Next vibe is let's keep it... Keep it in Japan.
The peace sign. Is it OD? I do it in every photo, and I do it because they do it here.
Yeah.
Japanese tourists would do it here.
Yeah.
I love it. I think they're starting to think that I'm making fun.
Yeah.
But it could just be my paranoia.
My vibe is bowing. It's a little awkward, but you kind of learn it, and then it's a really nice way to you know, there's not a lot of like body contact in Japan, not a lot of handshaking and hugging and stuff
I realize that. I'm big on the handshake, and I was like, you don't have to.
And if you go in for any sort of more advanced dap with anyone in Japan,
or
they're
even
just
a handshake.
Even a handshake, they don't really, you're not really going to get what you expect. So there's a lot of standing far away from each other and bowing intensely.
How many bows?
I think like sort of three is good,
yes.
But I would get self-conscious then and think like, I'm not going to overdo this. It's not expected that I will do it. And then, you know, I think some Japanese people, so they don't make you feel bad, won't bow as much.
Right.
It's a
but
weird
three
thing.
Three is nothing.
I found myself constantly sort of trying to evaluate and assess and like analyze the greetings and the goodbyes and all this stuff. But I did, every time you leave a place, you turn, and you should do this in the US. And I try to do it. Every time you leave, don't just walk out the door, stop, turn, make eye contact. Say thank you.
And don't talk about the person. Because if you're just piecing out, that's what it's like. No, but one thing we took a bus from the airport. I never do that. I always take a taxi. You know, it's very city-like and you feel local taking a bus from the airport.
Yeah.
It's fast. It's cheaper.
Yeah, I did the
and
same.
It's more local. It was so much fun to do that. You notice they put your luggage on the bus. You get on the bus. If you look out the window, the people that are putting the luggage on the bus that stay on the like sort of like platform of the airport,
yeah.
they bow to the bus
yeah.
and don't get up yeah. until the bus is gone.
Yeah.
Similar to when a friend says goodbye to you, they do it till you're out of sight.
That's right.
But they stay
yeah,
down.
They walk you
the
out.
Bus,
and, yeah.
The real bow isn't like peeking up to see if you're gone. It's just down. It's down. I think it's so beautiful.
This is a very freewheeling vibe session.
But what did you think about the peace thing, though? Do you think that's like me making fun?
No, I think it's totally fine. We do peace. I mean,
I love it.
You know, I think, you know, the it's all positivity. The intent is positive. But I don't know. You know, if you're offended by that, DM Mordecai and tell him off.
Yeah, next time you see me.
My next vibe is the L.L. Bean Sham shirt that Mordecai is just always wearing, and the one he has on today is so crispy and perfect. It's like.
I didn't want to say it.
It's clearly not new, but just the texture. It looks so soft, but still has that structure.
I discovered pills, and I discovered some discoloration.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, fine. It's not dead stock, but it's teal turquoise, which I love. Also, I have to confess, it's not Bean. And Bean are my favorite chamois. This is Woolrich, and I wish it was Bean. I think they're not. I think that if I go like this, it'll go through, and I'm kind of pissed.
You think you're going to poke your finger through the fabric?
Yeah, I think so. It could just be discoloration, but this color is gorgeous.
That Bean never made that color in the chamois.
No, I love a chamois. It's a gentleman's shirt jacket. It's a true jacket.
Yeah.
There's no
What do you got
jacket.
In your collection? Maybe I'll buy one from you. You got any for sale?
No.
I could borrow?
I only have three. I have three. But you could definitely borrow one. Right. I have four. All four right. amazing ones.
What's your next vibe?
We did tie-dye last time I was here. We probably did berets. They're not. The men are not wearing as much berets.
I know. I didn't see. I did beret. I did them on
like
a vibe once, but I kind of thought I would buy one there because I bought several stupid hats there. I put one on. I tried a couple on, and they just looked awful.
I thought about
it. It was
you
just
every
a
time
full.
A hat on.
I should have bought
when
you one
became
for
a dad. You did things that I thought I would do that I haven't. That was like, oh, now I could do this kind of stuff because I'm a dad.
Like what?
A bucket. I think that you wore buckets before, but I think you felt better.
Now I wear buckets all the time.
And I like that about
you. Yeah, I bought a couple buckets out there.
Damn, I'm going to have to see your stuff. I wish this was show and tell.
Yeah, not a great format for podcasting.
No, they're still big on the saddlebag, side bag, kidney bag. Didn't buy any though this trip.
The like fanny pack,
something, but the crossbody,
the
more
bag.
Gentlemanly one though. You know, like it's not obtrusive from your overcoat,
worn
or from
up
your
high
suit.
And kind of worn up high against the chest.
Yeah, but the small bag, dude. The small bag. The first time I saw it in Japan, it's because the guy was walking his dog, and I realized they don't have trash cans, so they put. If you notice, there's very few trash cans in the streets in
Tokyo.
Right, so they put the dog shit, excrement in the most people put the dog stuff in, and they put it in the tiniest little cutest bag.
Yeah.
But then you see businessmen on the train with little bag, not as cute and small as that, but still small.
Yeah.
The small bag vibe for a regular man there is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I was
wish
running
we could pull that off.
I have the little Mont Bell pouch. I actually got it in a Penthes here, you know, the really, really tiny, thin one that just lays it. It's
but
like
still,
a,
you can
almost
wear
a wallet
still.
With a tiny strap. Yeah, I wear
it. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was my go-to, so everything was in there all day, because when I'm traveling, you can get lost. So that way, it's like everything's in here. What was your like daily get-around kit?
Bad.
You're carrying a huge tote
Sarah
bag?
Sarah told
or
me,
what
are you
doing?
Bringing a bag with? You don't wear a bag around New York. And I was like, fine, good point. Pockets. But I'd forget to switch the pockets from one pant to the next pant because I'm used to wearing the same pant every day. That I do. Not only that, I have a wallet. I don't have the right wallet. I have a small little Goyard pocket wallet, which sucks. And I took my credit card, my one credit card and my passport out every day.
Yeah.
And that's all I carried around. I think we hit 14 vibes. Did you bring a hoodie? Did you wear a hoodie every day?
Yeah, I bought this hoodie I'm wearing while I was there.
That's nice.
Crepuscule, made in Japan. Tiny little knitwear brand that I really like.
You shopped.
Shot my ass off.
Sam, what are you on Instagram?
Yeah, he's like on Tinder.
Are you texting Anna? Dude, seeing Sam in Paris though with the cigarette at the dinner table.
Oh, Sam's Thanksgiving in Paris. The next episode of Corbin Lunch is going to be all about Sam's Thanksgiving in Paris, and no, Sam will not be featured on that episode. We'll just talk about it without him. As we usually do. Mordecai, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell a friend, rate and review the pod, DM Sam Hine, get a sticker, buy the holiday issue of GQ Style.
If you DM me, I might send you a sticker.
Wow. There you go.
If GQ pays for the postage, because I, you know.
See you next time.